We made this.
Welcome to Podcast 616, the Marvel Universe podcast on the We Made This Network. My name is Kurt North, and I am here to discuss What If this week. It's been a while since I've been on. Last time was in Loki, so it's a pleasure to be doing another TV show in the good old Marvel Universe. But as always, I am joined with a fellow podcaster, and this week is Dan Owen, returning back from, I think you were on the T'Challa episode, Dan. So how are you first up, and how are things over on your side of the world?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I'm on the same side of the world as you are.
I'm in the UK.
But yeah, I did the second episode, yeah, with the T'Challa kind of Star-Lord episode. Stepped in to cover for that one. But this is my proper episode that I should have been always doing from the start.
Right, okay. Well, you landed on a great one to start with. So, you know, that's not bad, is it? And behind the scenes, and people will know that I was on the WandaVision podcast, that Wanda is a particular favourite character of mine. This episode was the episode I was supposed to be on, but we didn't know what it was. And maybe Wanda's in this one.
Yeah.
which is amazing. So yes. So what can you do there? So
yeah, she turns up at the end. I'm sure you are very happy about that.
Well, I don't know if happy is the word, but we'll get into that when we get there. So yeah, we're talking about season one, episode five. So let's jump straight into that and see how we get on. So this episode is entitled What If Zombies. It was written by Matthew Chauncey and directed by Brian Andrews, and was released on the 8th of September 2021. And this episode ponders what if a zombie virus was brought back from the quantum realm and infected the Avengers. And it also starts around the time where Bruce Banner crashes into Doctor Strange's pad and says that Thanos is coming. So, Dan, what are your first initial impressions of this episode then? You know, we're now in episode 5, so we've got a flavour of what these episodes are about. So what's your thoughts on this one?
Well, my basic thoughts really go along the lines of the title. You know, it's what if zombies, and that's what you get, really, isn't it? It's what if there were zombies in the Marvel Universe, and this episode covers that. So it's kind of a very simplistic episode, I think. I think there's room for all kinds of different stories, but compared to the previous four, this is definitely the one where it's, you know, the simplest kind of narrative. It's literally just a big kind of crazy idea, isn't it? And just kind of mashing two genres together. There's not really much to discuss in the sense of, you know, like, it doesn't really boil down to like an interesting choice and a diversion, doesn't it? Does it, compared to the other ones? They're always about a simple choice and things going the opposite way to how we know them. But this one's just a more of a conceptual kind of idea, isn't it? It's a very different kind of episode, but it's definitely for me the weakest of the five, to be honest. But I did have some fun with it. I didn't find it boring or anything like that, so I'm kind of very lukewarm on it myself. How about you?
Yeah, I'm not a fan, if I'm being honest with you. So and that's despite Wanda being in it. We often joke in our behind the scenes things about my fascination with Elizabeth Olsen and Wanda, but I just think, for me, there's numerous different things, and I'm probably going to get thrown off the podcast after this. I started off with this episode, and there's various elements to this episode that I struggled with, and as much as I hate to say it, and there's a number of reasons for that. One is I'm not a big fan of Spider-Man, and never have been, even when I was younger. So I've not really seen the Spider-Man films at all, so that doesn't help me. The Ant-Man and the Wasp, those two films are not by choice, but just generally I was in a bit of a franchise fatigued mode when Ant-Man and the Wasp came out. So I didn't really see them in the cinema, and I never caught them, even though I've got them on DVD here. So I've never seen them. So it didn't put me in the best of situations when I started to watch this. I was like, they're talking about things I haven't really seen. I'm aware of. I've seen bits of Ant-Man 2 while in my cinema, but it was like, oh, God, so this is not great.
Yeah.
But I do like The Walking Dead. So that was all right. So I think, so if I was to sort of say just that aside and actually upon rewatching a little bit of it this afternoon, I think there's enough here. I think the initial shock was a bit, how am I going to podcast about this? But as it happens, once I've rewatched it, I kind of went, all right, okay, I get it a bit more now and I can talk about it. I'm not so fond with the zombie, the idea that the Avengers can be zombies and they've got the chaos magic and, you know, the fact that Iron Man can still do everything. It didn't really chase for me. So that's where I stand with it, really.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that you haven't seen some of the films that this is definitely pulling from. I thought maybe if you've obviously seen the Avengers films, I take it.
Those
characters are in there.
I've seen pretty much all of, I know, I'm aware of them. And as I say, I have seen like the back end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think, just because I work in a cinema. And it's basically, when you work in a cinema, it's impossible not to see the beginning of the film and the end of the film, because you normally going in to let the people out. So you kind of catch the last 10, 15 minutes. And sometimes if you check the film, so you're talking 10, 15 minutes. So I'm fully aware of what that is. And as I say, Ant-Man and the Wasp is only purely because I just haven't got round to watching them, rather than actually me not wanting to watch them. Yeah. Whereas the Spider-Man films, I mean, I'm talking like the Tobey Maguire stuff and things. I've just never felt an attraction to that character. So that's just a strange one. But as I say, with the Clash, I mean, what would you say it's your least favorite, but what would you class this out of 10? Do you give things out of 10, and what would you think?
I don't normally do out of 10. I do out of 5 myself in my head, but for these
out of 5 is fine.
Yeah. Well, for these podcasts, we've always been doing out of 10. So I've kind of, I can work with that. So I see 5 as like directly like average, distinctly average. So I'd say this is like 4.5.
Okay. So I would say 6 till 10 is where I would normally say above average episode of television is a 6, and the best episode would probably get a 9.9975, because I never rate anything out of 10. my favourite episode of The X-Files, it gets 9.975 or something like that. So so I never really give it that much, but I would go with a 5 out of 10 for me. I think it's perfectly watchable. There was an X-File episode I had recorded and talked about recently, and the rating was below a 5 because I don't think I'd watch it again. I think I would watch this episode again. Mm. I think if it's worth putting on, it's a bit of popcorn, it's okay. It does what it needs to do. It has some of the zombie tropes, which, you know, kind of recall previous shows and previous movies and things. So I quite like that idea. So a solid 5 out of 10 for me. So so let's talk about it in a bit more depth then. What do you think about the placing it into the Infinity War era? Well, what do you think to actually seeing that there, and, you know, some of the obvious differences, like, you know, the crowds would have been running through the streets when Bruce Banner appears, but there's no one there and all that kind of thing. What do you think?
I thought that was a definite strength early on. I thought, this is different. They're straight into it, aren't they? It's you didn't really explain where the zombies came from. It was just you saw Bruce Banner on the streets, and the baddies turn up. Forget their names now. Ebony Moore, is it one of them?
It's Obsidian Order, it's Black Order, yeah.
So they appear, and then you get the portal appear, and then zombies come through, zombie Iron Man and the rest. And so straight into it, really. So I thought with a zombie episode, we'd have to have all the kind of usual thing about there's a virus outbreak, and it slowly kind of turns the population to zombies, and the Avengers get infected. But that was kind of left for a bit later in flashbacks. So I thought that was quite a clever way of going about it. And it was just nice as well to have an episode which was taking place in kind of more immediate history with the MCU. Because all the previous episodes have gone up to kind of Doctor Strange, that kind of era, haven't they, which is 2016. So this is like a bit more recent in people's memories. So I quite liked that, a little bit of a difference there, with some kind of newer characters. So I quite enjoyed the start anyway.
Yeah, I think it was quite fascinating to see the way that they've played it, obviously played around with, you know, the various different scenes that you would get and play by play, because so far, the shows, What If, I mean, my favourite one, it changes depending on what episode, what I'm feeling, but I think the Doctor Strange one and the fact when the Avengers, What If the Avengers kind of weren't there and, you know, they were taken out, which again features Hope on the twist there. I thought those were my favourite episodes, and for different reasons, sometimes one will take over the other. I think Doctor Strange's episode is definitely a lot better overall, but there's a nice balance between the two, and but there's different versions of like sort of the way that What If has factored in. You know, they've done total recreations or like Captain America in the first one. You know, they've played around with the kind of the Dormammu stuff in Doctor Strange. And this one's very kind of a play-by-play repeating it. And I think, do you think that that's probably a good choice then, the fact that they're doing it play-by-play and it is so recent that people will remember this film because it's not that far away?
Well, I don't know if I agree that they did it play-by-play, as you put it, because apart from that opening, it kind of did its own thing, really, wasn't it? It wasn't, the Infinity War story.
I wasn't meaning. I'm just meaning for this. Yeah, I was just meaning from the actual from this opening scene. Really.
Oh, that, okay.
You know, it's play. You know, it takes off on this, doesn't it? I mean, Captain America was pretty much. You're right with the Captain America one, but
I thought you'd seen a very different Infinity War to me. In that case,
that's highly possible.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. It was good. Yeah, I like it when they directly copied a lot of shots, didn't they, as well from the film. So it's like seeing like an animated version of Infinity War briefly. And I think the animation, like I've said in my episode, the second episode that I've done, the animation is really great, especially for the action sequences. And you know, you can almost squint and think you're watching live action at times. But it's less convincing when you actually kind of focus on the faces and they're talking and some of the acting doesn't quite match the animation. I think maybe next season they can improve that because there's such a lot of talking in these episodes. And it only really comes to life when there's action. So I suppose for this one, that was a good thing because there was a lot of action involved. So it was kind of easy to watch in that sense. A bit like the first episode, which was more of an action-based thing, wasn't it, with Captain Carter?
Yeah.
And this was similar in that sense because you can kind of just let it all wash over you, but it's enjoyable enough. There's lots going on, lots of action sequences. There's some good jokes in here as well, I thought. So it was enjoyable. But like I said at the start there, I just think it lacks any kind of depth. You know, it's very superficially just throw zombies into the MCU essentially, and so that's what it was just lacking. There's nothing more to it than that. So for me, it was just quite a superficial episode.
Yeah. So do you think that the whiplash of, you know, just what we had with last week's episode with Doctor Strange and, you know, what if he lost his heart rather than his hands, that there's a bit of a whiplash to it, that it's almost like this is very on the surface and that one was quite deep and dark and, kind of earnest in that way, and this one's kind of playful and joyful. Do you think that the mixing those two together did cause a bit of a whiplash?
Yeah, especially as well that we were only following really one character last week, Doctor Strange. Yeah. It was very easy to get invested in his story, but with this one, you're following a group of characters, and they're not even top-tier characters. It's intentionally all this kind of sidekicks kind of having to save the day, which was like another thing I actually liked about the episode, to be honest. I liked the idea of that, having all the kind of second-tier, third-tier characters like Sharon Carter, Happy Hogan, who else do you have? Bucky Barnes, I suppose he's top tier-ish now, isn't he? But even had Kurt in there. I mean, Kurt's a fairly obscure character. I mean, I've seen the Ant-Man films and I was thinking, who's this guy Kurt with a funny accent? So I spent most of the episode thinking, I don't really know who this character is. And it wasn't until afterwards I'd actually had to Google it and find out. So it was fairly obscure, but he's basically one of Ant-Man's convict friends.
Yeah, well, as I say, I mean, it's like, the fact that it was my namesake, I was like, right, there's a Kurt in the universe. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, okay, that must be something to do with Ant-Man. And I think I've seen things since then. So I was like, so I know I've been quite playful with that, you know, that there's a moment between Kurt and Wanda in this one. And I quite enjoyed that, even though it could have been a bit more for me. I could have had some conversation between the two of them. But no, she just whacks him off and says bye, and uses a chaos magic. So I'm just going back to the direction stuff as well. That something that jumps to mind is the kind of the the swiveling shot of New York that I thought was really effective, you know, to kind of like play, which is repeat exactly the same with the film as well. Mm-hmm. The idea of the tropes then of this is the, you know, the zombie universe and things. And we'll talk, you talked about how it was kind of like it didn't really tell you, it leaves it to a bit later on. But they used the Spider-Man videoing aspect to kind of give us an idea of what to expect in a zombie apocalypses and those type of movies. And that's obviously purely designed for those people who aren't into those kind of things. Do you think that worked? That was an effective use of those few minutes using the Spider-Man videos?
I think it was a nice idea to do that. And obviously it called back to Spider-Man Homecoming, which you haven't seen, I think. So he kind of did the video blog at the start of that film. So it was a reference to that. So I thought it was a nice, fun idea to do that. It reminded me of Zombieland, actually, as well, the way he was kind of going over the rules of how to survive a zombie apocalypse, in a sense. And so a bit of a nod to that film. I mean, there was only a few things kind of subconsciously I was thinking, it's a bit strange, isn't it, for Spider-Man to be making these kind of upbeat videos, which I presume he's uploading to YouTube or whatever, you know, when his Aunt May's died and everyone he knows has died and turned into zombies and the world's facing a crisis and the Avengers have turned into zombies now and he's one of the only few superheroes remaining and he's got time to go off and do these vlogs. Seemed a bit strange in retrospect, but I suppose it was just a nice shorthand way of doing some exposition.
Yeah, and I think later on the episode as well, we get the scene with Hope, don't we, where she actually says, you know, like, how do you do it? How do you keep so, like, sort of... thing. And I thought that was interesting, that, because it's not necessarily it's something that grates on me a little bit, the actual way that Spider-Man is. That now obviously I've just seen elements of him, but it was for me a nice way of actually asking that question and say, well, how do you do that? And then the whole conversation of Hope, which again things like The Walking Dead do. That's the whole point of the show. The Walking Dead is like sort of just going through, you know, they are the Walking Dead. They are the ones that are having to live in hope and things. But did you feel that was kind of like it plays off in that effectively?
Yeah, it probably did pull it back a little bit, having that scene towards the end. But just in the moment, I think it struck me as being a bit too upbeat. But I think in general, this episode was having a bit of a fight with itself, because I think it wanted to be like a more of like a horror themed, you know, zombie episode, but yeah, it couldn't quite do that because it's part of the MCU and kids will be watching. So there's a few kind of gory-ish bits here and there, but it had to always kind of inject a lot of comedy, I think, to kind of counterbalance that. So, and this Spider-Man vlog was probably just part of that, just a nice way to jolly things up a little bit.
No, I think it's effective from that way for me. It works in that regard. It gives you enough information. It puts things on the screen, you know, with the text and stuff like that, which, you know, people will see and go, ah, right, he's one of those, and which I thought was nice to actually do that in that way. So I thought it's an effective way of doing it and an efficient way. And I think the nature of the way that the episode runs and the way that What If runs is really intriguing. And I think I've got a really unique experience with this one, because all the other episodes I was able to follow knowing it was fairly fast-paced. This one I had to rewatch elements because I'm not au fait with certain elements of the universe, that I was like, right, okay, I'm not quite sure where this is going. And I hadn't really clocked who Happy was to begin with. And I was like, oh, right, okay. And then it suddenly dawned on me halfway through the episode who he was. But there was just like, I think it was because everything was so frantic. And I was just like trying to catch up. But that's just, I would say, my point of view, which is quite a unique one for this one.
Also because I think, strangely, some of the likenesses are not great. I don't know if that's it might be like a contractual thing, like they haven't, are not allowed to portray certain actors in cartoon form. I don't really know how it works, but it's strange to me because some of the animated characters look exactly like the counterparts in live action, but other ones just don't really. Like Happy Hogan doesn't really look like Jon Favreau to me. And
that was part of it as well, because I know who Jon Favreau looks like. So if I'd seen him actually in a lifelike animated form, I would have instantly got it, but it didn't click. It didn't click with me at all.
And also, obviously, Spider-Man, he doesn't really look like Tom Holland. So it's strange how some of them, and I also just thinking about it, Hope Van Dien doesn't really look like Evangeline Lilly to me. So it's strange how that happens, but you've got other characters who look exactly like their counterparts. So I don't really know why that is.
Yeah. I think for me with Hope, because I was a huge Lost fan, that I know who she is. Mm. You know, so because I instantly know that character just purely off the back of the actor. Mm. So talking about some of the tropes of zombie kind of apocalypse, because Hope herself sacrifices herself once she's been like sort of scratched and stuff, which has that darker tone to it. And do you think that moment is kind of sort of a big moment in the episode? Do you feel that worked effectively for you? And did you see the kind of that trope of like, you know, oh, I'm going to, if I'm going to like go, I'm going to protect you and sacrifice myself in that way?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going through all the tropes, as you say, but just giving it that MCU twist, because you don't have many zombie tropes where the person's a huge giant all of a sudden, you know, able to kind of squash people. Yeah. So it was having a bit of fun with some of the expected things that you get in these zombie kind of films and TV shows, and just but that's the whole fun of the episode. So I don't begrudge the episode of having some fun with the tropes and stuff, and I think it did a decent enough job. It's just that there's nothing more to it. There's nothing deeper than that. It got more interesting towards the end, I think, when sort of Vision came into it and you found out a little bit more what was going on. Yeah, and what was the kind of deeper story? You know, with Vision kind of keeping his girlfriend Wanda alive by feeding her parts of T'Challa, which was quite twisted. Yeah. And so it was interesting. I think also the visual of Scott Lang, Ant-Man, with his head in a jar, kind of like a callback to Futurama or something. that's what struck me.
Yeah, I got that vibe. Yeah.
So that was quite fun, and especially when he got the cape attached to him and was flying around with the cape, the cloak, sorry. So that was all kind of good. But I mean, you're obviously a bigger zombie fan than I am, I think. Have you actually read the Marvel Zombie comics?
I haven't, no. No, it's not something that I was really aware of. Mm. So it was quite fascinating from a comic book point of view. To be fair, the only real comics that I've actually ever read are the X-Files Millennium ones and The Walking Dead. So The Walking Dead compendiums when they came out, because I was kind of watching The Walking Dead in tandem with reading the comics. But they're the only ones. I'm not an avid comic book reader naturally, but I mean, how do they factor in from the swap out to from this to that?
Unfortunately, I'm the wrong person to speak to, because I'm kind of like you. I'm not a huge comics fan, but I'm kind of aware of them though. I've probably got a bit more awareness maybe than you, because I was kind of aware that this episode was coming. So I kind of like did a bit of Googling as you do to kind of get an idea of what we're in store for. So I haven't actually read any myself, but I'm aware that they're quite a new invention. It was only 2005, I think, when the first story happened with Marvel Zombies.
Well, isn't it Robert Kirkman who does The Walking Dead did some as well, didn't
he? Yeah, so he kind of started it off with it. And then it really kind of took hold the same year or year after or something when I think that's when Robert Kirkman did Marvel Zombies, which is what you're talking about there. But I think there was a story before that kind of inspired him to do that. And then from there, there's been like various sequels to Marvel Zombies. There's even been an Army of Darkness crossover as well. And there's all kinds of different installments. So I'm sure this was pulling from some of the storylines there maybe. And there's lots of kind of in-jokes that I missed and you missed and that kind of thing. But I have been told though by a friend of mine who I spoke to today just briefly, who does read these kind of books more often. He told me that they're definitely a bit darker and a bit edgier. And he could tell that this cartoon was not able to go quite as far as they would have done in the comics. I think the T'Challa scene with the leg being sawn off was about, you know, I think that there's a similar scene apparently in one of the comics, and that's a bit grimmer how that's portrayed.
But that was one of the ones I was aware just in the ether. You know, ideally, had I had more time, unfortunately, I haven't really had the time. Between the watching the episode, going to work, and then coming back and recording this, to delve too much into it. But I was aware about that T'Challa with the leg cut off. That's a scene from the one of the zombie comics. So I was aware of that. So no doubt there'll be plenty more of people to chew on. Forget the pun. on that.
Hey everyone, this is Tony, Network Chief of We Made This. As you know, our podcast network brings together a brilliant assortment of talent who talk about all kinds of pop culture content, such as the episode you've just listened to or you're just about to listen to. We'd love to keep the lights on a bit longer if you're able to support our network on Patreon. For just £2 a month, you get your name in lights on the website and the satisfaction of knowing you're helping us produce more great audio. And for £3 a month, you'll get your name in lights, but you'll also get access to an exclusive bi-monthly podcast from the We Made This Talent Pool on podcasting, pop culture, and you tell us. We'll take your suggestions. For less than the price of a coffee per month, you can help keep We Made This going. So just head to patreon.com/WeMadeThis. That's patreon.com/WeMadeThis to get the ball rolling. Now, back to your scheduled programming.
So yes, I think it's interesting. And it's interesting that you say that you think it gets better, because I remember messaging saying I'm not quite sure that I'm really enjoying this. And at this point, before we get the Hope and Spider-Man stuff, that I was getting to the point of like, this is really not working for me. And that was from the first proper watch. And then the rest of it, and people will joke that it's all because Wanda and Vision turn up. And it's not necessarily that. It's like the actual story for me, for what WandaVision did and what Vision does, is very similar. It's almost like a mirror image of what they would do for each other. And I think that in itself, for me, I would have liked to have seen the story more focused on that element, on the fact of Vision staying for his love, for what lengths is he willing to go to actually keep her, which is the way that obviously Wanda does by taking over that town. You know, Vision does it by taking over a camp and actually, you know, doing the things that he does. So I personally thought that would have been made a much, much better episode if we focused more on that.
Well, I think all of the episodes in What If have suffered for being only 30, 34 minutes long. I think all of them have needed 45 minutes to an hour to tell a more complete story. Because like you say, I mean, I thought it got better as it went along because more stuff came into play, I suppose, for me. But yeah, definitely, like you're saying, the Vision storyline was quite good, like an interesting kind of development. And it was kind of rushed over, wasn't it, really quickly. And so within 10 minutes, he's kind of changed his mind and he's on the side of the good people now. And so, you definitely felt like you did last week, especially with Doctor Strange. I felt that should have been slightly longer. But yeah, I think they've all suffered from that. So maybe next season they'll have grown in confidence and be able to extend these episodes a little bit where they need to. Because I think a few of them at least need to be more of a traditional TV length. And so this maybe would have benefited from that, especially because it doesn't really end properly, does it? It kind of abruptly doesn't really resolve anything. And like many of the episodes, it seems to set up a sequel. And I've said in my previous episode that I did, episode two, I at that point I was thinking, it seemed to me anyway, that both of those episodes had set up a part two. And this one as well. So I don't know what season two will do. Maybe season two will return to some of these stories and we'll get part two. I think definitely the Captain Carter episode, I think we're definitely in store for a part two for that. And the way this one ends with Zombie Thanos appearing, and the fact that we haven't seen them broadcast this Mind Stone signal to reverse all the damage, it just makes me think, well, that's totally teed up for a sequel, isn't it? So maybe season two will come back to this. And because of the Marvel Zombies thing has been like a long-running comic book series, you know, I'd be very surprised if we don't come back to the Marvel Zombie universe again.
That is interesting. I mean, when you were talking about there with the length of the episodes, I think that's part of the reason why I can't really make a decision on my favourite one so far between the Avenger one and Doctor Strange, because both have really strong elements in them and have a good half, but both kind of falter in certain elements for me. But they're really, really good. I last week was amazing, fantastic, and I think that the Avenger one was a slow builder but worked really well. But there's the pacing, you know, it's kind of like it kind of drops off a little bit, or it kind of rushes to the end of stuff. And I think that there's an element of that where it just feels like as a part of it, I'm so interested in Doctor Strange. And, you know, you get like halfway through the episode and I'm like, I'm really, really good for it. And, you know, then it does the Sorcerer Supreme stuff and I'm like, I'm enjoying this, but it doesn't feel like it's not as good as the first half. And I would have liked to have seen it bit more developed. Mm. And I think this is the same with this one, but this is the reverse. It starts off for me poorly, but then by the time we get to, like you say, bringing all the characters involved and having this sheer concept of, you know, Wanda, like, sort of being, I mean, they've done this in likes of Walking Dead, for example. I'll use the governor, where he kept a loved one in the closet, you know, who was a zombie. And that is something that has been used before. And the fact that, you know, you've got people like the governor like that, and Vision's doing the same, you know, she's gone. She's effectively gone. You know, she's not the Wanda that he remembers, but, you know, he can't let her go. And that's the same with what happens in WandaVision. She can't let him go. And there's more to it for me. And I just feel like there's something there that could have delved into that story.
Yeah. I think what we've learned from Wanda and Vision is that their romance is not good news for anyone.
Well, that's very good. That's very, yes, very true. Very true. So another thing I felt was a bit off, and maybe it comes to the frivolity of the episode, and some of the, you know, the lightheartedness that they're going for with this mix of the zombie thing, was some of the characterization I felt was off. Like, so likes of Bucky, you know, when we get the kind of the Civil War kind of fight scene, and he says, well, sorry, pal, it's the end of the line. I think he says something earlier on when Hawkeye gets killed. He says, I should be sad, but I'm not, or something along those lines. And what do you think to some of the characterizations in this episode, especially some of the, as I say, some of the secondary characters, but especially Bucky in that scene with Captain America?
The thing is that they've got a perfect excuse, haven't they, is that it's not the character that we know. So that you could always just excuse it by saying, well, it's not our Bucky, it's this different Bucky. So how do we know what the history was between him and the Captain America that got turned into a zombie in this universe? Maybe they weren't, you know, as close of friends as they were in our universe. So they've always got like an excuse to get out of any problems like that people raise like this. But I know what you mean. I mean, if we're meant to be accepting it as kind of our characters, it didn't quite work. Especially as well for me, when some of the characters died was quite kind of flippant and comical, like Happy Hogan with the blam, little joke. But these are like, characters that somebody likes. They're not my favourites or anything, but they were kind of somebody's favourite, I suppose, in the world, and they're just killed in quite an offhand, jokey way, and just to kind of maintain that upbeat, comical flavour, I think, that they wanted to, like I said, counterbalance the horror. But for me, sometimes it was like, well, that wasn't really... the reactions around this is not quite right, doesn't quite sit right for me. Even weird things like Ant-Man in the jar. I mean, I don't think you'd be particularly happy being in that jar, but you seem fine with it. I can't imagine the Paul Rudd character in live action being at all happy with that. But
having said that, I don't know if it was referenced in the episode, but my imagination is that he's had his head cut off because he was a zombie, and he's managed to get it back because of the reverse thing with Vision, hasn't he? That's kind of what they're playing on. So if you were a zombie, I don't know that. That's the way I took it. But if you were a zombie and you've been brought back from the dead, and you find out you're just a head, and you get to fly around on the cloak of levitation at the end of the day, which I thought was quite good. I know iconically as well that obviously Peter Parker and Spider-Man with the cloak of levitation was something a lot of people were looking for. That must be, I'm assuming, a comic book thing as well. So I thought that was quite good, the way that some of the jokes. That, I mean, obviously, Ant-Man is like sort of the levity in the episode. I actually really loved the Sharon moment as well. I thought that was great. Where it's, oh, I've got Sharon on me, which I thought was quite good. But yeah, the Blam Happy Hogan, that's one of the ones I was alluding to as well. That it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it was really there. And I get what you're saying. I suppose you've got the get out clause of where they were. I mean, I maybe mistakenly took it that everything was the same, bar the scenes in the quantum realm where we get the zombie virus.
Yeah.
I don't know, but if that's where you took it.
I think I did take it your way. I was trying to see a way around an explanation for it. I think I was kind of trying to think of an excuse on their behalf. But I think we're supposed to think that, aren't we? I think we're supposed to think it's like exactly the same as our universe, that it just diverges at one point, and that point was the quantum realm with Michelle Pfeiffer being turned into a zombie, essentially. But like I say, there is a valid excuse there, isn't it? But yeah, so, I mean, I think it was just like I said before, really, it's just one of those episodes that's in a bit of a struggle with itself. It has to, because if it's too realistic and you're seeing people die in kind of realistic ways and people are genuinely scared and horrified and grieving over what's happening, it would be a very, very, very downbeat episode, wouldn't it? You know, you can really go quite dark with it, which I think is what the comics do. So I think they were just injecting a lot of humour into it to keep it kind of rolling along and keep you laughing.
Which is strange, though, because I was going to say, it is strange, though, because Doctor Strange last week, I would say, was quite dark. But I think, I suppose it's dark in a more of thematic and, you know, kind of emotional point of view more than actually being on screen, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they just thought, well, we can't have two episodes in a row like that, so we have to make this one a bit lighter. But in general, I always think that the episodes in anthologies that are in the middle tend to be the ones that are a bit more mixed. So I'm not surprised this one's a bit of a, you know, not anyone's favourite. Because I presume episode 5, 6 and 7 will be the ones that are a little bit wobblier, maybe. Because they want to start strong and end strong, don't they?
Well, you always remember the beginning and the end of things, don't you?
Yeah.
If you think about, you know, the way that your memory works, that you're always going to remember the beginning of something and the end of something, and often you forget what's in the middle. So
how have you heard of the theory that we're heading towards a situation where lots of these different characters from different universes will come together as a kind of Avengers but across the multiverse? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
I think the title of last episode is kind of pretty much giving that away, that will happen, I think. but I think there's a shot in the trailer as well, which kind of replicates the famous Avengers shot when the camera goes around them as they're assembling, thing. But in this shot, it's got like T'Challa there from episode 2, and it's got I think it's got Gamora even, who we haven't actually seen yet, but Captain Carter and people. So and somebody was theorizing, I heard today, that maybe they're teaming up to defeat Thanos. But it'll be zombie Thanos. So we'll kind of return to this episode this season, it'll take all of those other variants to stop the zombie Thanos.
Well, this is interesting because this is in my notes and links in with that. So you get Vision dies again, and to be fair, this is the first episode that made me scream at the television. I was like, again, he's dying again, and he dies very similar to the way he's done before, except by his own hand. And also you've got the episode before talking about particular set points in time, going down the Doctor Who route of like, you know, this is a set point in time, you can't change it. And I was thinking, is the Thanos thing kind of like something where we're going to see? And I was going to think about the previous episodes, and I didn't get time in my bandwidth of my head to think about the previous episodes, whether or not we've gone beyond the Thanos thing. And I'm just wondering if there's an element of that there is a set point in time for all the universes. And, you know, I know that obviously T'Challa, I suppose there's Thanos in T'Challa's episode, isn't there? So it may not work. But there certainly seems to be a play on maybe a set point in time where something at least happens.
I don't know how they'll do it, but it'll be interesting to see if that happens. Because, it seems to be heading that way. But I don't know if zombie Thanos will be the big threat. But it would be fun if that was so.
Yeah.
And it might make this episode work a little bit better if it's like foreshadowing a much better finale to the season. You might think better of this one as kind of just laying some groundwork. So maybe in retrospect, we'll give this episode 5 out of 10 for me and not 4.5.
Yeah, that's true. What about, it's not Marvel without a fight scene, and we get Hulk and Wanda in this particular one. What did he make to kind of Wanda's chaos theory in this, and, you know, the stopping of the bullets and the fight scene between the Hulk and Wanda? Because I think that's obviously quite a big moment for you know, Marvel fans to see just how powerful that one Wanda is, but obviously the green guy, and as we get again, you know, when he's like not coming out of his shell when he's too scared and things is obviously a thing. But having that opportunity to see Hulk and Wanda fight it out,
it was quite brief, wasn't it? From my memory, I've only seen the episode
very brief.
Just a few different kind of shots, wasn't it? I don't know really. I suppose my immediate reaction is that Hulk's quite a physical kind of character, so I don't think he stands a chance against anybody with magic, pretty much. So even though he's like a lot of people's favorite, then I don't think he could really defeat many. Well, I don't think he could yeah, defeat many people apart from, like, I don't know, even Iron Man would stand a chance with the Hulk, wouldn't he? trying to think about any character the Hulk could actually defeat. Hawkeye, you know.
Well,
most of the other ones are quite powerful, the ones that are remaining in the series. But yeah, so I don't know. That fight didn't resolve, did it, from memory?
No.
So yeah, no. I presume the Hulk wouldn't have won in that one. He'd be put into a force field and sent up into the sky or something, you know. And held in a bubble.
Yeah. Well.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, other than that then, is there anything, I think, you know, we've talked about this for considerable time now. Is there anything else that you can, that you want to bring up at all that I might have missed in this episode?
Well, it did cross my mind, thinking what zombie Thanos would want to do when he gets all of these stones, because you see him at the end and he doesn't have the Mind Stone, which obviously is in the possession of the heroes. So presuming we do get some kind of sequel, or if that happens in the finale, if he returns and he gets the Mind Stone, what would a zombie Thanos want to do? Because he wouldn't really want to get rid of half the population of the universe, would he? Because he wants to eat people now because he's a zombie. So would he want to double the population?
That would be interesting.
Yeah. That could
give me some fresh humans.
Yeah, never-ending supply of people. I don't know. So that popped into my mind.
I tell you what did pop into my mind that was quite effective is the way that the Avengers actually got infected. I thought that it was an interesting way of actually, by using the quantum realm stuff, by using the size elements that, you know, it's just a simple bite, and the way that Harry Pym was actually just sitting on the neck. I thought that was actually quite an effective way to say, you know, you've got these Avengers coming out of this ship. They're going to save the world, and they can't stop something as small as that. And I thought that was really well done.
Definitely, what if so far has really shown the power of Hank Pym, hasn't it? Because he's able to defeat any of the Avengers, according to the third episode. And now, obviously, he could even have this massive effect on the world if he ever caught a zombie virus. So he's quite a dangerous character, isn't he, to have around?
He is. I was going to say the other thing that was just a very kind of small moment was when we had to get Hope catching the ship on the way out, and then throws the body at them, and I howled with laughter. And I thought that was particularly funny. I enjoyed that bit as well.
Yeah, it was good. I was going to just talk about the voice acting, because this is another episode where we didn't have all of the actors return to voice their characters, which again is very confusing to me. It can't be down to expense or anything, because they've got plenty of money to. Well,
Do you think Tom Holland, because of the whole Sony thing, though?
Maybe, yeah. Because they would have been making this maybe around the same time, wouldn't they? That there was a bit of an argument, happening.
Yeah, so. Because obviously with the whole Spider-Man is Sony's creation. Well, not Sony's creation, but Sony's rights, and they were loaned out for so long.
Yeah,
and you've got this film feature you can have him for so many films, and obviously this is a extracurricular, so I could see that being the problem for him,
but it didn't really matter. I thought the guy doing the voice, Hudson Thames he's called, named after two rivers unusually. He did the voice. I thought he actually sounded quite good. He did a good impression, I suppose, of Tom Holland. That was quite good. Also quite funny just to note the connection between Walking Dead and Marvel Zombies. Obviously with the writer that you've already mentioned, did both. But also you've got Danai Gurira, haven't you? Here playing Okoye. Yes. And she's obviously from Walking Dead as well. So a little kind of...
I was surprised there wasn't a real meta joke in there. I know they were talking about American TV reality shows, which I thought was an okay joke, but I was surprised they didn't have more of a meta joke there.
Yeah.
Because I thought they would have done something like that, and I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, you could have thrown in some kind of reference to something, couldn't you, from The Walking Dead?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, she has the swords and things. And, well, I suppose the swords, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she uses a sword to, like, sort of thing Hawkeye. So maybe that was a little mention to it. That's potential, I think.
Yeah, but apart from that, I've enjoyed talking about the episode, and it definitely, I could imagine watching it again. Maybe I wouldn't say it was ever the kind of episode where I would try and avoid it, or it would bore me if I watched it again. I might actually enjoy certain elements of it more the second time. Because like you say, it's a little bit of a, you know, like with all these things, sometimes you're kind of thrown into it, aren't you? And then you're kind of scrambling to kind of catch up and kind of properly consume it, especially when you're doing a podcast, because you kind of also got your mind thinking about what you're going to talk about on a podcast, which is not what everyone's going to be thinking when they're watching episodes. So definitely, it wasn't the best, the worst of the five, but even being the worst of the five, it's still not a terrible episode. You know, 4.5 out of 10 is not a great rating, but it's only slightly below average. So I think it's perfectly entertaining. I enjoyed it well enough.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, if I was wrapping this up, given that it wasn't particularly, it's my least favourite episode, like same as you, that would give it a 5 out of 10. It's something that I wouldn't necessarily go straight back to. If it was on, I'd put it on. I might, if I'm bored, I might watch it a little bit. I think the Wanda stuff, yeah. Again, talking about voice acting, I'm a bit surprised that they didn't have anything. I mean, obviously she's a zombie at this point. But the I'm just wondering if she is going to actually make an appearance other than this one. It was nice, obviously, to see the character, and it was nice to see the reflection of Vision. I thought that for me is the definitely the where I focused on. I focused on that heartbreak and what they would do for each other more than anything else in this episode for me. I also have seen as well that it wouldn't go amiss for us to say we're in obviously a podcast about, you know, obviously Spider-Man and stuff like that, that it has been mentioned that he mentions Uncle Ben, and that's the first mention of him. I think they said that from what I saw that there's been a briefcase or a luggage bag or something like that with his initials in. But it's the first actual reference of him. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it would be interesting if we actually saw him as well, because we've never actually seen him. And there's always speculation about who they'd cast, who would be a good kind of match for Marissa Tomei, who's Aunt May. So it would be interesting. Maybe that character would one day make his debut in animated form, which would be quite interesting. a different way of going about it, having a famous actor voice the character first before he appears on screen would be good. Just one other thing, just to mention quickly. We did get The Watcher. I haven't mentioned him, but he didn't have a big influence on this episode. But I just wanted to mention that he's kind of becoming less mysterious, isn't he? Because in this episode, you kind of see him, and he's not a silhouette anymore. He's you can really see his features, and he's looking more and more like Jeffrey Wright, who actually voices him. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah. So definitely by the end of this season, I'm guessing we're going to really see him as a fully fledged character on screen, maybe interacting a bit more and breaking his law about not interacting.
Yeah.
So I think we're kind of headed
that
way.
Yeah, because we saw that last episode, didn't we, where obviously Doctor Strange was aware of him and they have that conversation. If memory serves me right, it was kind of like a sunlit background that we saw the Watcher in this episode. Yeah, so it's becoming a bit less opaque in that way. And so, I think that's an interesting one. I just can't see it. Like, I know that Tony Black was on last week, that they were saying the same thing, that we just can't see them not having him interact more, because the cracks are starting to appear, and it's not going to be a Rod Sterling Twilight Zone thing. There will be elements the way that he'll start to connect, and I think that's a really astute thing there, to say the opacity of it. You know, it's getting stronger. It's getting stronger.
Well,
there.
My theory, if you want to hear it, it's getting really geeky now. But my theory is that I know, for instance, in the comics, the Marvel zombies are like a real big threat, because they consume so much of their own universe, they want to cross over to other ones and consume those. So I'm imagining that the Watcher's going to become like this series version of Nick Fury, and be the one who has to kind of assemble these variants to stop zombie Thanos, because a zombie Thanos would kind of, you know, spread to other universes, and before long, everyone's a zombie in the multiverse. I'm guessing that's what the threat's going to be. That's my theory.
Right. Well, I'll definitely take that on board, and we'll see if your theory is right. Thank you, Dan, for coming on again for the episode you were supposed to be on. I was glad that, you know, this variant of Kurt was able to see another variant of Kurt and interacting with Wanda. That will be my takeaway from this episode. That will do me. Thank you very much. So we've got a few episodes left. It should be interesting to see where it goes to. So where can people find you online if people wanting to get to hear or see more of you, Dan?
Well, you can go to the website that I run, framerated.co.uk. So I edit that and write for that website as well. Or on Twitter, at DanOwen79. You can give me a follow there. That would be appreciated.
Excellent. You can find me on Twitter at R. Muldrake. Not that anyone will, because I'm booted out of the MCU now for not watching any shows. But you can find me on Twitter at R. Muldrake. It's R-M-U-L-D-R-A-K-E. I'm currently looking at season 7 with my fellow co-hosts and showrunners, Carl Sweeney and Sarah Blair. And you can find the X-Cast, which is the X-Files podcast, at the X underscore cast. I also will be in October celebrating 25 years of Millennium, the spin-off show to the X-Files. And you can find that podcast at The Time Is Now Pod on Twitter. Dan, I know you're a big fan of Millennium. You even wrote some virtual seasons and stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a pleasure to speak to you on in that regard. But yeah, you can find that. So that's going to be good, looking at the 25th anniversary. They did have 4 zombies in a basement on an X-File episode called Millennium. And you can find me, and as of today, as of recording today, the new Star Trek Picard trailer came out. So you can find me on the Make It So podcast, and no doubt we'll be talking about that and all things Star Trek, which it will be really interesting. I haven't had the time to even look at half of that. So I'm looking forward to seeing where Star Trek Picard's going, where Strange New Worlds is going, and all the like, and find out what's happening in Star Trek. But if you do want to find us and talking about Star Trek, and especially Star Trek Picard, you can find me on the Make It So podcast at Jean-Luc Poddard. So one more thing, because I'm on every single podcast known to man, is the Red Dwarf podcast, and you can find that at Red Dwarf Pod. So that finishes up the episode of What If. So thank you again, Dan, for coming along and for being on 2 episodes. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Yep, nice to speak to you too.
Okay, so thank you for joining us on another episode. And remember, we are part of the We Made This podcast network. So do please subscribe to Podcast 616. Drop us a 5-star rating. It would be much obliged. And if you get us a chance to drop a review, even better. So thank you for all your support. And we hope that you will hear from us on various different parts of different podcasts on the network. You can also help us monetarily on Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/WeMadeThis. And you get bonus episodes there, and you get various different things that are going on the network and stuff like that, which is fantastic. But we aren't the only podcasts around. There is plenty more. There's music podcasts. You know, there's all kinds of things happening on the We Made This podcast network. So stay tuned just for the end credits here, and we will hear a taste of what's happening at the moment. But then, until then, we'll see you next time on Podcast 616 to journey into the unknown and ponder the eternal question, what if?
Elsewhere on We Made This.
Free with this month's issue.
This is Fruit Tree and Red Flower Girl. This is a band that are so fucking difficult to Google because they've got such a generic name. I was trying to Google Fruit Tree metal band and ended up with a load of results for like little metal bands to attach fruit trees to stick out and grow.
Oh, right. Send me a link to those.
The name being so generic, as I was doing my research, Esme from Hide From Time podcast had put up a post on Twitter about she was trying to do research for her forthcoming episode that she was doing, where there's a black metal band called Spiral Staircase, and she was trying to Google black metal spiral staircase and just getting black metal spiral staircases, which I thought was quite funny because it was exactly the same situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad someone else suffered the same pain as you.
Yes, absolutely.
They were fantastically on Casket, which is the record label that offered my old band the deal as well, and we did not take it.
Right in the childhood.
But what I will say is, I did like watching Hannah Montana the first or second time. When we had to watch the same episodes over and over again, that was when young Fraser was not very happy about that. For some reason, I've grown out of that. I'll rewatch stuff over and over again. Like, I can't count how many times I've watched How I Met Your Mother. But a younger Fraser did.
I can count how many times I've watched How I Met Your Mother.
Once.
Each episode, one time. And do you know how many times I intend to watch each episode?
Just once.
One time.
Real talk. We made this movie show.
You know, with all of the water around, you know, like, We're in a noir. I want to see steaming streets, you know, have the, you know, have the streets with all this moisture, you know, have that evaporating during the day and in the intense heat, like, you know, represent some of this stuff a little bit more visually, because, you know, it felt like she went halfway or three quarters of the way to a lot of this really cool stuff and didn't quite cross the finish line with some of it.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This Podcast Network.